tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's December 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Joe Boris. Obviously, it's Christmas Eve, which means for a lot of people, it's a day off, and I am no different. I'm actually on vacation today, so I'm going to have a pre-recorded interview as part of the show. And frankly, it's probably going to be a pretty slow news day. I'm sure I'll regret saying that. What I'd like to do today is give you kind of a look back at the year that hydrogen had, and it's been a wild one. Back in January of this year, Volkswagen Group Mann Truck CEO said it was impossible for hydrogen to compete with BEVs. Quote, it's one thing to have the technology and another thing for the technology to be viable. That's according to Mann CEO Alexander Vlaskamp. He said that to the Spanish language magazine Expansión. Green hydrogen is not available for transportation, and there is no point in switching from diesel to hydrogen if the energy source is not sustainable. And he's not the only person saying that. Over at Mahle, their CEO, Arne Franz, says hydrogen will fail without the use of fossil fuels. Quote, we can't achieve any CO2 emission reductions if you use natural gas or another fossil fuel source to produce hydrogen, Franz is quoted as saying. Today, the overwhelming portion of hydrogen produced worldwide is around 90 million tons. That number is going to go up to 130 million tons by 2030. Currently, we have a flourishing and growing portion of that being more sustainable. By more sustainable, I mean blue and eventually green hydrogen. In our opinion, blue hydrogen production is needed to get the infrastructure going in order to get the ecosystem. I read that as saying that today, there are no carbon emission reduction benefits from using hydrogen as a fuel, because the overwhelming majority of those 90 million tons is being produced by natural gas and fossil fuels. What's more, everyone involved seems to be trying to justify that with claims that fossil-generated hydrogen is some kind of, quote, necessary evil, those are my words, to build out a viable hydrogen ecosystem. See if you hear it too. Quote, we will fail with hydrogen technology if we don't use blue hydrogen, Franz clarified. Right now, hydrogen is produced from fossil sources with carbon capture, meaning we don't let the carbon reach the atmosphere. Eventually, we need to get wind and solar as the sources of energy to make hydrogen. And we believe the U.S. has a really impressive program thanks to subsidies from the Inflation Reduction Act. So that's basically saying to me that the hydrogen fuel itself is problematic, but it's more than just the fuel that seems to be problematic. Even the trucks themselves are having issues. This hydrogen early adopter who had a Nikola truck over at Coyote Container had a tremendous number of problems with that. After the stock sank to a 52-week low, he filed a NHTSA complaint saying that he had to be towed off the road 5 times because the truck would cease operations anywhere between 20 and 140 miles left in terms of hydrogen range being indicated on the dash. Now, Nikola itself is a new startup company, but the fuel cells provided by Bosch, this is not something that was just, you know, made in a startup-y environment with a bunch of startup-y people who are moving fast and breaking stuff. Bosch is a huge, massive corporation who presumably knows how to make this stuff, and even they are having issues trying to get this right. So many issues, in fact, that there are rumors swirling that Nikola is actually putting a halt to its hydrogen production and possibly going belly up in total as well after a few weeks of layoffs and potential talks of bankruptcy. So it's not going well for the people that are putting hydrogen into the market, regardless of whether it's green or not. But that hasn't stopped other companies from continuing to see hydrogen as a potentially viable fuel source. Hyundai just brought a number of its Exient hydrogen fuel cell electric semi-trucks to Georgia, where it's going to put them to work at its new mega factory there. Hyundai, of course, also has hydrogen semi-trucks working at the Port of Long Beach and other ports in California. They seem very sold on the technology. Another unexpected company that seems to be sold on the technology is Honda. And at last year's CES show, they unveiled a new Class 8 semi-truck powered by a Honda-developed hydrogen fuel cell. That's, of course, co-developed with General Motors. Well, today we're going to be talking to David Persinski. He is the manager for Honda Hydrogen Solutions Business Development, and he's here to tell us all about why Honda is getting involved in hydrogen what it's all about. David, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe, for having us here. Really appreciate it. And no, I think that's why it's really exciting that we're on the podcast today. Specifically, it's very symbolic, I think, to the kind of new direction that Honda is wanting to go. And, you know, the fact that people don't know that Honda has been looking into this technology for almost 40 years really shows that we got to do a good job at explaining why we are excited about it. Happy to answer any questions, and looking forward to a good conversation with you.
Well, that's a great point, right? Because Honda has been involved with this for 40 years. That's a fact that I think most people didn't know. Certainly I didn't know. What is it about fuel cells that attracts Honda, and why is Honda seemingly so invested in developing this technology, right? Because there is not, at least in North America, there doesn't seem to be a huge business case for passenger cars running on hydrogen.
Yeah, so it really is a interesting story. I think way back when we were starting into investing into Honda jets and even some involvement into dreaming about space programs, we were aware of hydrogen and really thought it to be a cool kind of medium for storing energy. For our future business, you know, Honda has always been trying to be the first at driving decarbonization. We saw that the really stringent EPA tailpipe emission standards and race to be able to be the first one to comply to that way back in the 70s. But nowadays, there aren't really tailpipes on these new EVs. You have to have a new goal in mind. And a couple of years ago, our leadership, Mr. Mibe-san, had a vision of, you know, what ended up becoming our second founding. It was a complete company decarbonization for all products, all activities. That means every kilowatt that goes into making your vehicle needs to be green. Every kilowatt that goes into your car needs to be accounted for. All of our suppliers, when they move all the products back and forth, we need to make sure that's not pumping diesel emissions into the atmosphere. And even when you take your car back to your dealership, we don't want to scrap it. We want to reuse it and repurpose it. So, you know, we've seen that, you know, especially in the passenger vehicle world, batteries are going to do great. We've had large investments into battery plant operations. Actually, in my home state of Ohio, there's a tremendous retooling happening right now. And our leadership believes that, you know, the future of a lot of that small passenger vehicle world will be with battery electric. But we can't get to complete decarbonization if we haven't been, you know, thinking about this almost 40 years ago. There are routes in the country that just don't really work for batteries, especially if you're a large truck trying to haul all of our cars across the state. It doesn't get far enough. I've seen a lot of my colleagues to talk about the winter right now, and the range has decreased. And when you're talking critical essential functions for businesses, you need to be able to have another form of energy that can work. So, you know, it's interesting because that decision to be able to think about this alternative and not just focus on battery is very meaningful for our company. It will hopefully enable us to, again, not just get mostly decarbonized, but fully decarbonized by the 2050 goal.
No, I think that's a great answer. You know, we were invited to go out to Torrance, California and drive the Honda CR-V hybrid fuel cell electric vehicle, which is interesting to me, right? Because I think most fuel cells kind of operate in the same way, where they take energy, you know, from the hydrogen, they put it into a battery or a capacitor, and that operates the electric motor. This one is interesting because it has larger batteries and can be plugged in, if I understand it correctly. So it has that flexibility baked in. Is that a project that you guys think has legs outside of California, or is this still kind of Honda's Osimo, Honda Jet, Formula One kind of heritage of, we're going to see if we can do it because we're Honda, and if anybody can do it, it's going to be us?
That's a good question. Yeah, for the CR-V itself, Honda CR-V FCEV, I really like it because I have solar at my house and there's solar on our campus with EV charging. For the most part, since it's about a 30-mile round trip, I don't have to use any of the hydrogen. It makes it easy to be able to know I'm still benefiting from green energy and solar. But when I go down to San Diego or up to, North Hollywood, I don't want to have to be reliant on the fast charger network. I'm able to go drive to some of the filling stations, which we've been investing into since 2014 in the Southern California network, and know that I can be able to fill up the hydrogen range. So that's exciting to us. But if it can it be outside of California, I'll be honest, I certainly see that path and I'm excited for it. And I hope so. My family is out in Ohio and they're very interested in this technology. I know a lot of enthusiasts, but more so, it's being made in the same facility that made the Acura NSX Superstar. And I can't tell you how happy I would be if we're able to work together in all these different communities that have enthusiasts for decarbonization to be able to experience this kind of new technology because it is beneficial. There is true value for the market for customers to have options. And yeah, we don't want it just to be in California on the long run.
Let's talk a little bit about, enthusiast market, right? Because there's all kinds of enthusiasts. There's sports car enthusiasts, there's truck enthusiasts, and there's also heavy truck enthusiasts, right? And we do the electric podcast, we also do the heavy equipment podcast. And you guys came on my radar with this fuel cell program, admittedly not so much with the 5-passenger soccer mom SUV, but with the Class 8 semi truck that you guys showed at CES last year. And that blew my mind, right? Because Honda has never made a semi truck before, but when they rolled out the NSX, which is now considered an icon of performance cars, they'd never made a sports car before. And before that, when they made the CRX HF, which was like the best fun little sport compact that really invented the sport compact movement in North America, they had never built anything like that before. So Honda has a tradition of coming out of the blue with crazy stuff like this and just kind of developing it. Is the Class 8, the semi truck, really something that Honda has eyes on? Or is this a an attention getter? Is this a PR move?
Great question. I think out of necessity, we've looked into our own operations. We see that we have about 600 suppliers that all are bringing their equipment to us. And the reason for this Class 8 truck that is hydrogen based is that we want to show that there can be a path for not just ourselves, but our own community to look into their operations and see what can be used for these routes that are hard for batteries. So, the point of fuel cell technology is to go after the hard to decarbonize sections. I grew up with asthma growing up. I don't want my kids to be in a world where there's diesel emission routes next to where they live. I think that that vision is very linked to the blue skies for our children motto that Honda has always had since, even the 70s. And the point of this truck is to show, really showcase that yes, there is a path forward. Now, it's exciting. We have not made Class 8 trucks before. It's new for us, but it's kind of symbolic to this augmenting and transforming the business, the new part of our own core logo. So it's forcing us to be able to reach out to other companies and collaborate. I don't expect, Honda to be one of the powerhouses on truck brands, truck OEMs, but the purpose of this endeavor was to be able to show that our fuel cell technology can reliably power, another OEM's vehicle. So it's not our truck. We didn't build the chassis.
But even that kind of fits with Honda's heritage, right? Because, Honda has supplied and collaborated with GM for many, many years. Honda supplied powertrains to General Motors vehicles in the form of like the Saturn Redlines and other vehicles like that. Honda supplied powertrains to Rover in the UK many, many years ago, if you're old enough to remember the 80s and the Stirling Project and all that cool stuff. And even into the 90s, powered by Honda really meant something, especially in the world of motorsports. So I totally get that view where you're not necessarily looking to be a truck OEM, but you want to be that Caterpillar, that Detroit diesel that goes in and powers those, but you want to do it in the Honda way that is true to the ethos of decarbonization and clean power. And I think that's kind of cool.
I can't agree anymore. I also think it's cool. Thank you. I mean, if you think about it, if you go to Home Depot, you see a piece of equipment that is powered by Honda, you know that you can count on it. And you know that that manufacturer stands by this equipment and is going to be around for a long time. In the world of fuel cells, which people still many have not experienced or tried or used, that powered by Honda vision, I think, is really needed for a lot of this innovation and business to kick off. When people buy the equipment, they need to know that that core engine, that core fuel cell technology that's making the power, is reliable by a company that they're familiar with. And that vision is what we want to be able to expand out to into these other domains that are hard to electrify. To be honest, the fact that we're able to put it into a car and to make that car safe, we did the hard part first. It's not easy to package it and bundle it into that tiny configuration. Since we've been able to prove that, and especially with in mind our commitment to 100%, safety, zero fatalities on the roads, that shows that we are very comfortable with the technology, and we are excited to be able to it growing out into other businesses to enable just broader scale decarbonization as a whole.
No, and I'm really glad you brought that up because there's not a ton of opportunities to bring this up. I did an article a couple of years ago about, Tesla claims that they have the safest vehicle on the road, but they also have the highest rate of fatality of every vehicle on the road, including a couple of motorcycles, which is kind of a bananas, thing to say or consider. And in doing research for that, I did find that there were a couple of Honda models out there that had zero fatalities going back for several years, not just like 1 or 2 years, but like 4 or 5 years. The Honda Odyssey, I think, was one. I have to recall, but I think the Honda Passport was another one. So to hear that stated, and again, you're the manager of Honda's hydrogen fuel cell business, so I know that this is not necessarily your purview, but to hear that that is a stated goal on your side of the business really shows that this is something that Honda takes seriously and is pushing out through all of their vehicle lines.
Yeah, I can't agree more. It's important to us. I mean, as a part of our goal and vision, it's embedded into everything, just as decarbonization is. That zero traffic fatalities is crucial to our second founding vision. I had the privilege of seeing some of our crash test developments. It's pretty astonishing. All goes into making sure that we test every single consideration on our end of how we're able to keep things safe. And for the hydrogen fuel cells, the fact that we have been able to put it into the hydrogen CRV EFCEV, and know that we can have the stamp of approval, it's a signaling. We've been having the vehicles that are powered by hydrogen off of the road since 1998. Was the first prototype that hit the US markets. And we've been really deliberate about our rollout, about our availability to the public, and wanting to make sure that this can be an option in the future.
That's great stuff. I know I want to recognize that we're coming to the end of our time commitment, and I'd be respectful of your time. One question that I've asked a couple of people who are obviously smarter than me is, if I was a smart person, what would be the question that I would ask here, that like forward-looking vision type question that you guys have a really great answer for? So I'll leave you to that and see if you got something interesting for us.
Oh man, what a good question. It's not necessarily directly linked to hydrogen, but I was asked this at the Ohio Fuel Cell Coalition a couple weeks ago at a conference, and the question is, what cars should we buy? A very simple question, but I would say if you're living in America and want to be able to support decarbonization and want an American-made electric vehicle, look to what Honda is doing. The amount of work and development that we're putting into the Midwest, both in the battery plants in Canada and Ohio, is astonishing. Even our fuel cell itself, through our joint venture being built near near Detroit, this is something that is showing not only Honda's commitment to decarbonization, but really commitment to American workforce and labor. So I'd say, to ask the question, you know, what vehicles should we get if we like decarbonization? Look at Honda. Look what we're doing for the Zero Series coming out, and keep in touch with us for some of the cool developments that come out through the next couple of years.
All right, that was David Przinski once again from Honda, and we really look forward to seeing what they've got as a follow-up to that Class 8 hydrogen fuel cell semi at the 2025 CES show that's coming up in just a few weeks. Be sure to like and subscribe to Quick Charge so that you don't miss all of that stuff. And if you celebrate the holiday, Merry Christmas. If you celebrate the other one, Happy Hanukkah. And if you don't celebrate any of those, I hope you just had a pleasant solstice and look forward to a new year.